Thank you for taking the time to share in Truth Infusion Ministries. Support for this radio program comes from your generous gifts and donations. You can find out more about David Markham and the Truth Infusion team at www.truthinfusion.com.
That have everything at their fingertips to be the church of God in the community, and they're asleep at the wheel, they've never been discipled, whatever the case may be. My heart is after seeing those churches wake up and say, I have this and I can go do this.
The anointed preaching of the Word of God is like infusing strong medicine into a sick body. The modern day church is sick, and what it really needs is an infusion of the truth. Hello, truth seekers. My name is Corey Callicutt, and welcome to Truth Infusion, the radio aspect of Truth Infusion Ministries. It is our prayer that in the next 30 minutes, God Himself will infuse life-giving truth into your heart. With that in mind, here's Pastor David Markham with this week's Infusion of the Truth.
And thank you, Brother Corey. And with that, we are off to the races. And joining me today in the studio again this week is Truth Infusion Minister Chuck Mansell. Brother, glad to have you back in.
It's good to be here.
And we spent some time talking about some great stuff last week, but I really felt like we were just
starting.
Just starting on some stuff that that I think we could even be a little bit more detailed with, because I think there are so many people. You know, person A's situation and circumstances may label them a little bit differently than person B's, but but there's still so much we have in common.
Right.
Struggle is struggle. Defeat is defeat. There's still only one answer.
That's right.
So even if your situation looks different than mine, we can talk about what you've gone through, what I've gone through, and the Word of God applies successfully to both, because we're all working towards the same end, and that is this: those He has called, He is predestined to be conformed into the image of His Son.
That's right, absolutely.
He wants us to look like Jesus Christ. And to get there, some of us may have to go down different roads to get there, but He is the road.
That's right.
You know, absolutely. I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life,
right.
And there is no other.
Right, and I believe He allows us to go down those roads strictly so we can see that, so that we will see that He is the only way. Struggling through our trials and tribulations of life, trying to do things on our own for so many years, till we finally get to a point to where we say, you know what, I give up. You know, I can't do this.
And, okay. Amen.
Reach out, right?
So, truth seekers, here's what we're going to do today. If you are in a place in your life where you're ready to say, I can't do this anymore, or I'm struggling, I don't know what, I've tried it every way I know how to try it. You may even already belong to the Lord and love the Lord. There's a lot of Christians out there that are in defeat because they don't know. They've never been discipled the real and only true pathway to victory.
Amen.
And that is just simple faith in the Christ of the cross.
That's right.
That everything we ever needed was performed and completed on the cross of Calvary. It's ready for you.
Absolutely.
It's ready for you for the taking. So I want to start with prayer.
Okay.
And then I want to get into a few scripture verses. We kind of closed last week. We started talking about some scripture in Psalms,
right?
And in Psalms 136 or 137,
139. Right.
I'm in the right place. Psalms 139, and so I want to go back there,
right?
And hit on a couple of verses, especially verse 16, and then we'll just see where the Lord takes us forward. I think there's some people that need to hear what's going to be brought out by the Holy Spirit today.
Absolutely. Amen.
Amen. Heavenly Father, we give you this time. We know that you are the teacher, so we want you to speak. And I ask that you would take a hold of Chuck, and you would take a hold of me, and through us, Lord, if you will, speak to your people, to those that are in a position where maybe they're right on the verge of saying, throwing their hands up and saying, I quit. Maybe they're ready to give up. Maybe they're right on the verge of going back to the old way because this new thing they're struggling with just isn't working. But God, you've told us how this works in your word. And so I pray that you would help us to speak in such a way that people can identify with the words that are spoken, and God, that you would minister to them that there is a pathway of victory that you have laid out for your people to follow. When we can just get on the narrow path you spoke about, Lord, it leads to life. And that's a promise that we have. So we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So we're going to start in Psalms 139, man. And if you would just read those that scripture again, that passage again.
Okay. For you created me in my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place. When I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be.
Okay. And before we really key in on that last part of that passage,
right,
that all those days were ordained by the Lord.
Right.
Let's say a few things about the scriptures leading up to that. There's a lot of folks, Chuck, in fact, all of us, if you belong to the Lord, you've had to come to a place in your life where you look back on your life and said, I'm a mess.
Right.
And the Holy Spirit convicted you of sin, and you saw that you were a hopeless mess of a sinner. And that's not comfortable. That's not a comfortable place to be in, but it's a necessary place that we all need to come to.
That's right. Well, here's what I know. I know that God had used my past and the things, the life that I'd once lived, the rebellious living, the self-inflicted wounds that I caused on myself and others, to get me to a point in my life to where I was broke. And it got me to a point, in the place that it got me to was prison. And when I was in that place, it was not just the place that I was in, the prison cell that I was in. It was the place that I was in my spirit.
Yes.
I was spiritually broke because of the life that I had led up to this point. Looking back at my life, just realizing that I was at the age that I was, going back to prison again, it broke me. I was at a point to where I just gave up. I said, you know, I've tried everything in my life, and nothing has worked. And I don't want to continue to, you know, go back and forth to prison. What do I have to show for my life? And at the time, it was absolutely nothing. And God used that very circumstance and situation to have me call out to Him. I was broken to the point to where I tried everything else in this world, and I finally was to that point to where I said, God, if you can, and if you're real, save me. Do something with me. And then, you know my story, David. At that point in time, the Spirit of the Lord was ministering to me. And little did I know at that time that God was in a process of taking my past life and those things that I, the life that I once lived, and was going to use me to minister to others concerning that very life that I lived. And, you know, even after my salvation, I still look back and still had questions about why, the whys to my life, and this scripture right here really pointed out.
Just questions like when you look back, questions like what?
Like, why did it take, one of my main questions is, why did it take so long for me to come to my salvation? Why, Lord, did it take all these years? Why did I have to do the very things that I did? Why would you wait 35 years of my life to get my attention? Why did I have to hurt those people? Why did you allow me to, if you knew, the scripture's telling me, if you knew that I was your child long before I did, why is it that I had to go through those things?
Yeah.
So I had those questions. I had questions as far as, you know, certain situations. Why was it that I was, you know, born and raised in Houston, Texas, and what led me all the way to Texarkana? You know, this is what I know. God knows all things.
Yes.
And He preordained, strategically preordained every step of my life to the exact point that I was at that very moment, and revealed my life to me. What He did was He allowed me to see myself in comparison to who He was.
Yes.
He brought me to the point to where I said, you know, who am I?
Mm-hmm.
And you know, when the Spirit of the Lord was ministering to me, I really see, I didn't need a person, a preacher, to tell me God was real.
Yeah.
I'd never been to a church, as a matter of fact. The only reason I broke down and prayed is because I had heard through passing, even maybe in school, about this God.
Yeah.
You know, and because of my past, David, you know, I've said it several times, because of my past, I didn't believe that God could be real.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, there's another scripture I think that we might get to that really revealed to me a lot about who I was then in comparison to who I am now, and how God will use that very person to benefit and bring others to their salvation.
Sure. This scripture points out in several verses in Psalms. It talks about the care that God took with us even before we had ever breathed a breath. right. in knitting us together. And really what this is pointing out is when he was knitting our physical body together, we were within our mother's womb, and he was pulling together flesh and sinew and bone and forming internal organs, and our brain and blood began to, at one point in that time, our heart suddenly begins to pump, and blood for the first time begins to flow, and all these physical things are happening. But this is really pointing out something deeper than that.
Right.
It's really pointing out that even at that point, God was knitting together purpose.
Right.
Even before we were fully even formed in physically, that we could actually breathe and cry
right.
out, God was knitting together meaning and purpose and destiny for our life.
Right.
He had a plan. And what's mind-boggling, Chuck, is as you're kind of on the hot seat today, I guess, you know, as,
right.
as you're bringing this has been on your heart.
Right.
But I think what you were saying was, when you consider that God had a purpose and a plan for you even before you were born,
wow.
and then somehow you struggled through, you've even said 20 years of meth addiction.
Right.
You've struggled through your own parents casting you aside at 12 years old, and all these hills and valleys and what seemed to probably be more dark days than ever bright days.
Right.
And yet, was there still in the heart and mind of God purpose? Even when you had done meth and gotten high on meth for the umpteenth time, and you were just destroying what looked like there's any purpose at all, people look at you and say, that guy will never make it. He'll never be worth anything. And you come to the place where you're in prison for what, the third time. Not only that, but kind of tell them how you ended up in a segregation cell.
Okay, well, I was just actually, this time that I was in jail, I was just there on what they call a technical violation just for not reporting. And the reason I wasn't reporting because I was high on methamphetamines, and so I didn't want to go in, so I wasn't reporting. Well, this just goes to show how God works. Well, they had caught a girlfriend of mine, and as crazy as this may sound, bringing me cigarettes up there.
Yeah.
And when they caught her, they locked her up, and they came and got me and threw me in jail. And when they took me to court the first time, they were trying to give me a 20-year sentence for, they was going to try to take all my past charges and kind of combine them together, saying more like that I was convicted felon time and time again, a repeated
yeah.
felon. So
just throw the book at you.
They were going to enhance it to yeah. a 20. And you know, so anyways, I went back to my cell that night, and it was then that I was like, that's when it happened. You know, that's when I really, really started taking a look at what, you know, what's going on within myself and my life. But here's what I do know over the years of studying the Word is we cannot be, and I don't want to get ahead of ourselves here, but we cannot be the men and women God has called us to be without going through trials and tribulations, refinement, storms,
sure.
being that clay on the potter's wheel. We have to go through them things. In order to get here, you have to go through. You can't go around. You can't go underneath. God has a destination, a plan for each and every one of our lives.
Yeah.
And in order for us to be this man or woman of God, we have to go through things. We cannot become stronger in any area of our lives unless we're refined. And how do I get stronger in areas? How do I get stronger in, say, you got an anger problem? Well, God will allow you to go through things to make you angry in order for you to recognize that you still are angry in that area, so you, through the Spirit, can be strengthened
sure.
in order not to be that person anymore.
So you were looking at 20 years tacked on to, you were 35 at that time?
35.
So you're looking at minimally 55.
Right, right.
Potentially, that could have happened.
Right.
And at that place, there was brokenness, like
right.
you had never experienced before.
Absolutely.
Right?
Right.
Brand new place. So you're telling me that what this scripture in Psalms may be pointing out is that was an ordained moment by God.
An ordained
moment. I'm going to play the advocate here. I hate to say the devil's advocate. I just hate that term,
right.
but that's what I'm talking about. So you're telling me that the God of love that the church wants to put up as is he's a good God of love. He all he wants to do is give, make his kids rich and healthy, and that the God of love would ordain a possible 20 extra years to your life just to bring you to a place of brokenness?
Wow.
Why would he do that? Why?
Well, the scripture tells us it's clear. God would do that. He's going to do whatever it takes to get your attention.
Yeah.
However it is to get your attention. The exact reason, you know, the Bible continues to tell us that the Israelites were stiff-necked, hard-headed people.
Right.
And God would raise up mass armies, Assyrian and Babylonian armies, to take his people captive because of their lack of knowledge of who their creator is. They would worship other idols. That's why I love the book of Judges. It was talking about my life personally. You know, they just kept on getting cast into exile and then back out, and they would walk with the Lord for a little while, and they would turn to their idols, and time and time again, God uses situations and circumstances, it's in the Word, to get our attention. Yes, even prisons, whatever it takes to have us break and call out and call back out to the one who saved us.
Here's why that's true. He loves us that way. Right. You know, the best love does whatever it takes.
Right.
The most true and perfect love, which is obviously God. God doesn't have love. He is love.
Right.
So that which emanates from him, it's not just an emotion. It is love itself. It is the embodiment of love. It is perfect love. It is that agape love. That's right. When the Bible talks about God's love in the Word through the New Testament, it uses that word agape love. It is, and it's the love that will do whatever it takes.
Absolutely.
I've got these three knuckleheads running around my house, and I'm just picking on them. They're wonderful kids.
Right.
They're so good. They take after their mom. That's the good thing. But you know what? Sometimes, as much as I love them, I have to discipline them.
That's right.
Sometimes, as much as it just stinks for me, and I have to, there are times where I have to look away to keep the tears from coming because I don't like to do it, man.
Right.
You know, I don't like to take a belt and spank one of my kids when they have been disobedient and then lied on top of that. But my love, as imperfect as it is because I'm a human, I want to do whatever it takes.
Right.
Whatever it takes to put them in a position where they can be successful, God-fearing, God-loving mothers and fathers one day.
Right.
Christians, ministers, whatever that God's called them to be. And so because of that, I'll do what it takes. And if it means upsetting their life for a moment of time,
right,
then that's necessary. And God looked down, man, he looked down on me at times in my life. He looked down on you in a segregation cell,
right,
you know, and said, give him the possibility of 20 years because I love him.
Right.
And that brought you to a place where you, for the first time, said, God, I need something. If you're there, right, I need you.
Right. And you know, the crazy but truth to that is that I wouldn't change that.
Right.
For anything in this world. You know, my incarceration the last time was the absolutely best thing that had ever happened to me. Before I ever left and went to prison that last time, I had made a commitment to myself, but more importantly to God, that I was going to totally and completely submit and give everything to him. And I spent 3.5 years of my life in prison serving the Lord, you know, and God had used the exact situations, the bad circumstances, and even my past life to be the man of God that I am today. I could not go and tell people about what God has done for me and how he's delivered me from addiction and from prisons and from the past life of rebellion and gotten me through being aborted by my family and my mom and dad and all these things. I could never go and tell these people and give them hope through what God has done for me if I not went through those things. So God allows us to go through those very things. And, you know, just like 2 Corinthians 1 and 3 talks about, he comforts us and he pulls us and he gets us through and he strengthens us to get us through those things so we can go and be the mouth, tell people about exactly what Christ has done for us and give them hope.
Yeah. I've preached several funerals. And one of the things that many times God brings me to bring out to the families that are there at that funeral, there's a casket, their loved one, maybe a mother, father, brother, sister, friend, it's gone from their life, at least temporarily, hopefully, if they died in the Lord, you know.
Right.
Sometimes they haven't, you know. It's a crazy situation whenever I'm behind a pulpit and I feel like I've got to give words that bring hope.
Right.
But that scripture you just brought out, 2 Corinthians 1, 3, and 4,
right,
I've brought many times, even at a funeral speaking, because here's what I try to tell these people. As much as you're going through the pain and you're mourning, you're grieving now, and that's good because we love, and that's why that hurts so much, if we will allow God to, there's going to come a day where we will become ministers of that pain. That same pain you're in right now, there's coming a day where you will look at someone who just lost their wife, and you'll be able to go up to them. You may never thought that you would be the kind of person that could do this until that moment comes, but you'll remember what God did for you, you will recognize what they're going through, and then the Holy Spirit will move in you in such a way that you'll come along beside them and you will be able to comfort them. Right. And you know what? I haven't lost my wife. And so I can speak words to someone, but it's a completely different scenario. That's when right. someone who has lost their spouse can come and say, I know what you're going through. I was there. I understand those nights when you just cry all night long. I understand what it's like when you see a picture and your life feels like it falls apart again. Let me tell you what God's going to do for you.
Right, right.
And that's what you're talking about, brother. Right, absolutely. I ain't never struggled with through meth or some drug addiction, and I can give a person that's in that spot. I get to every Friday morning. I go to a restitution center. You minister there at a different night of the week,
right.
And I go and share the Lord with those guys. But brother, when you go in there, you go in with a different type of ministry
right,
than I do,
right?
Because you've been in the places that you've been in,
right? Right. And you know, I tell them guys that all the time. You know, I share. There's a scripture. You know, here's what I know to be fact, David. That is what that word's talking about. You know, you can minister to people that I may never be able to reach because of circumstances and situations, and I may be able to reach people that you can't. And it's not
right.
that the message is any different.
That's
the message
right.
is the same. It's the it's Christ and the cross. The message is the same. It's the people, it's the listeners that's different. You know, and I remember when the Lord showed me that, because I used to always pray. When I prayed, I said, Lord, I love the way David gives a message. This guy can really bring a message. Lord, Lord, allow me. Give me the ability, the understanding, the knowledge, the revelation, the open heart and mind to be receptive and receive your word so I can give a message like that. And the Lord showed me that, and it was in Galatians 2, where he clearly laid it out. Paul says, you know, he said, I've been appointed to the Gentiles and Peter to the Jews. It's not that the message was any different. It's just that the listeners
yes.
was the difference. So, yeah.
And the mission field can be different.
Absolutely.
That's another way to say it.
Right, right.
Your mission field, even though we minister side by side in Truth Infusion Ministries,
right.
Your mission field is, and I can even tell you what, in a certain respect, what that is. And if you don't think I'm off base, then just say so. But my mission field, not 100% of the time, but in great respect, my heart is drawn to the church that is in need of revival.
Absolutely.
That have everything at their fingertips to be the church of God in the community, and they're asleep at the wheel. They've never been discipled. Whatever the case may be, my heart is after seeing those churches wake up and say, I have this, and I can go do this.
Right.
Your mission field is to those that are destitute and broken with addiction,
right.
Those that are bound by those chains.
Right.
We're preaching the same word.
Absolutely, the same
In fact,
message.
You sit there and preach, and I think, man, that's exactly what I said last week. And you've told me many times I'm preaching, and you want to stand up and say,
man, all the time.
Because we're saying the same, we're exactly. preaching the same sermon.
And it's awesome.
But our heart is drawn in certain respects to different mission fields.
Right. And my heart's broke. And you're absolutely right. When I became a part of Truth Infusion, that was the first thing that you had told me what Truth Infusion was about. And you know, my heart is literally breaks for those who are lost in their addiction and continue to go in and out of prison, in and out of prison, because they're lost.
Yeah.
They're lost, and ignorant does not mean stupid. They're just ignorant to the truth. They don't have the knowledge, the understanding of what
right.
true deliverance is. And that's why my heart goes out to them. And that's why I know the Lord's going to lead me to be able to minister to them type of people, because through our mouths, the Holy Spirit will speak
mm-hmm.
and give life into those who are lost and dying in addiction or anything else.
Anything.
Anything.
Because it doesn't matter what the struggle or the problem is.
That's right. The answer is still the same.
It's the same answer.
That's right.
It really is easy. If you know the answer.
Right.
And you're willing for the Lord to use you, he will.
Man, David, you know, I'm living proof of that.
Yeah.
You know, never in a million years would I have thought that I would ever bring a message that God had put on my heart to anybody. And God is using me, and it really blows my mind. It just takes me back to scriptures that why the Lord used, you know, fishermen and tax collectors and zealots. He does what he wants to, when he wants to, to whom he wants to do it, because he's God like
yeah.
that, and he can use anybody.
And what he's really into? taking the down and out and the nobody, the broken, the busted.
Absolutely.
The people that the world has cast aside.
Right.
That the, in a lot of cases that the church doesn't even reach out to.
Man.
But those guys, that's what Matthew was.
Right.
He was despised by his own people.
Right.
Matthew, before the Lord called him, his job was to stand up for Rome. Now, he's a Jew.
Right.
Right. He's one of the Jews, but his job was to stand up for Rome, who was controlling the Jews, kept their foot on the neck of the Jews,
right,
as a Jew, to stand up for the Romans and collect taxes. Now,
right,
it wasn't that they were so much against collecting the tax, or, you know, giving the taxes. It was the fact that Matthew, being a Jew, would not only take the taxes Rome required, but he would rip off his own people,
right,
and say, I've got the authority to take all I want from you. So I'll take Rome's bit, and then I'll take everything else I want. And he made himself filthy rich on that. And he was sitting there in Caesarea Philippi doing that very job, one of the highest tax offices in Galilee. But a man walked by on the seashore one day.
There it was.
Amen. Absolutely. And he looked at Matthew, and he said, drop what you're doing and follow me.
Wow.
And so he took someone that was not just, that was despised by the world of that day. And we can flip to the first gospel, and Matthew's name's on every page.
Wow.
And he took that man and used him to be not just someone that followed him for 3.5 years, but to proclaim the gospel that is still being heard and read and preached.
Absolutely.
In 2014.
Absolutely. And that's what I love. You said it a while ago. God, he takes those. He takes those that everyone else has counted out, the world that has considered condemned, unchangeable,
right,
and he changes those. For what reason? So people can't say it was anything other than God which changed that person.
Right.
The same reason you continue to read in the Old and New Testament about things that came to pass. I won't get into it, but there's several things like Gideon and the 300. God does things that people say, whoa.
Yeah.
That has no other explanation except it was God himself.
But for God.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that's what excites me about myself is that, you know, not only because it still awes me at what God's doing in my life, but how those who once knew me can look at me and say,
yeah,
whoa, now if God can do that to him,
yeah,
we can do it.
Through any human eyes, you're a living impossibility.
That's right.
But through the supernatural ability of God, you are what you are. And that thing that you are, Chuck, the thing that I am, when he was knitting us together in our mother's
womb. That's right. That's right.
He had a plan.
That's right.
Amen.
Absolutely.
Amen. Truth seekers, I hope that you've identified with some of this. I know you've been blessed. You continue to seek the truth. We'll see you next week.
Well, that wraps up this week's Truth Infusion with Pastor David Markham. If you missed out on any part of this week's message, or if you know of someone that would benefit from today's word of truth, simply visit us at truthinfusion.com. That's truthinfusion.com. On our radio ministry page, you're free to stream the program of your choice to your computer or mobile device. While you're on the website, you can find out more about Truth Infusion Ministries, get information about upcoming events that may be taking place in your area, or sign up for our free internet newsletter. Truth Infusion is a listener-supported radio program and is furnished by Truth Infusion Ministries. To send us any questions or comments, or if you'd like to make a donation by mail, write to Truth Infusion Ministries, P.O. Box 637, Redwater, Texas 75573, or email us at truthinfusion@gmail.com. I'm Corey Callicott. Thanks so much for joining us today. I encourage you to tune in next week for more solid biblical insight. And until then, keep seeking the truth.